where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He's purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free.
We want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. Say it's so good to see you. And I want to, say thank you to those that are watching by way of Facebook. And we appreciate your faithfulness during this time of pandemic for watching each and every service. And so from the church to your living room, welcome to the service. We hope that you're blessed by watching. And I tell you, cool weather is here, I believe, and we are officially in wintertime. Yesterday, we were out doing a few things and seeing a couple of snow flurries come down. This past week, I can't remember what day it was, maybe Wednesday, we were going somewhere and started to sleet, and the sun was out, and I think the weathermen and women are confused right now as to what exactly is going on, but nonetheless, we are in winter, and so we tend to take a liking to the cooler weather. I do, at least. This morning, we want to mention just a couple of people by way of prayer request, and then we're going to pray, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. I do want to say that the children's home, they are taking a week or two more, not being with us, just being at the on campus, just to be on the safe side. And so we're looking forward to them being back with us next week or the following week. We do have a few families that are out. They're traveling out of town. And so we pray for them that they'll have a good time while they're gone, be safe. But that's one of the reasons why it's slim as it is this morning as far as attendance. And also I want to mention that on the last Sunday of this month, which will be the fifth Sunday, the 31st, we're going to have a Youth Sunday. And so we're looking forward to that time. Brother Brian will be preaching, and our youth will be taking part in that service. So please, please, please be a part of that. Tune in for that special service. Ask everybody to remember Miss Catherine Plemons' mother this morning. She, as you know, she's been on the prayer list for some time, and Miss Catherine has been taking care of her, but she's not here today, and she's with her mother, and so mother's just not doing well this morning. And so let's pray for her. Let's just continue to remember everybody on our prayer list. Let's remember our nation, America, our world. But inauguration week, this coming up week, I believe the actual day is going to be on Wednesday. And so let's remember that. As Brother Allen stressed during choir practice, the safety of our country and all of those things, pray that the Lord would protect us and all of that. I was told to mention that we have tithing envelopes. If anybody need those, they're on my right, your left, down front. Also at our main foyer entrance, remember that as well. Well, my voice just started to go out on me here in the past couple minutes. I don't know what's going on. So you pray for me, and the Lord will crank me up. And I won't sound like a bullfrog preaching this morning. But that'd be something, wouldn't it? Croaking my way through. All righty. Well, let's pray this morning. Are you glad you're here? Say amen. 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 We're here. Let's worship. The Lord will meet with us. This I know. And so let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning, and we're thankful for those who have come to worship you. Lord, we're reminded in Scripture that whether there's a multitude or there's just a few, even one person, God, you have done mighty, mighty things. And so, Father, our prayer is exactly that, that you would be glorified, be, Lord, we magnify your name today. We pray that you would do a great work in our hearts. Use the music, Lord, with a message to minister. Use your word, Lord, to minister to hearts. We've come to worship. Here we are. Father, we all need encouragement, so I pray that you'll do that today. And we do pray for these that are hurting, these are shut in, these that are not feeling well. We pray for sufficient grace to be with them, to strengthen them, their hearts and minds, so they can continue on with the lot that they have in life. We love you today. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? And could we sing maybe a couple of choruses of that song that says, "There's something about the name of Jesus"? Just sing to the Lord this morning.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain, Jesus.
Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Church, you can be seated.
Are you tired? others around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, and they thought they would die. But they failed to remember that the Master was nigh. He spoke the words, winds, winds all stood still, and even the waters obeyed his will. And he calmed their storms just like he will mine. If I just remember that he lives deep inside, so why should I worry? Why should I fear? Very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Read in the Bible how he walked with them, brought light to their darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, and to walk with the Master all of the time. So when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master, he'll be there on time. When sickness comes and my body is in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? The very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes
just been speaking to me, and I know that things are crazy. I know we're spread out and we're covered up, but we serve a Lord this morning. He can meet us in our needs right where we're at. And there may be someone here this morning, maybe someone watching, that just might need to hear that, at least one verse, of course. I'll leave that to Brother David. Just may need to hear that one more time. And I want to urge you, church, if you need to come and pray, don't wait till the end of the message. But you come as the Lord wants you to come at any given time. So, Brother Dave, if you'll just sing us another little stanza there. Give a round of applause for Jesus this morning. Being our sustainer, our provider. Thank you, Brother David, for and your willingness to go ahead, brother. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Amen. Anybody else this morning? Well, it's been good to be here so far, and I'm glad again that the Lord moves when his people gather together. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And when that happens, he shows up. We appreciate that. All right.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, we will take our Bibles and go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. This morning, and we want to use, in just a moment, one verse, verse number 32, as a launching pad for the message. And I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to read, or then we're going to do some summarization out of Hebrews 11, and then read verse number 32. Father, we're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you're in us, for us, with us, because of those truths, Lord. Doesn't matter what may come into our life, what storm may be on the horizon, Lord, we can endure it. We can survive it, go through it because of you, and we're thankful for that. Use us this morning is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, many of you know who study the Bible, who've heard much teaching and preaching, know that this is the Hall of Faith. It's where the records are kept for at least some of God's people who endured trials. It gives record of those who have stopped the mouth of lions. And many, many other things. This chapter in the book of Hebrews records not all of them, but some of them. And this chapter also records not just men, but women as well. We read in verse number 31, there's the account there. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. We have a ex-harlot here that got born again, and she was in the Hall of Faith. And there are several other women that definitely were in the Hall of Faith, but yet not mentioned here. Hall of Faith meaning the faith that they had in Jesus. We could talk about Naomi. We could talk about Ruth this morning. And the examples they leave behind. It's not just great men of faith, but there's great women of faith as well in the Bible. Naomi and Ruth, and what about Esther and her bravery that she had when she faced the king and asked the permission she did to deliver the letters to save God's people. And then we have Mary and Elizabeth in the New Testament. And we have the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. And we could go on and on about not just the men of faith, but the women of faith as well. And I want to say tonight, this morning rather, that I thank God for the women of faith that's in my life. Thank God for my wife, who's a woman of faith. And I thank God for those in my family, Christy's grandmother, who's a woman of faith. And her mother's a woman of faith. And of course, we've got great friends, and we start naming names outside the family. We're going to leave somebody out. But the women of faith, we ought to just be thankful for those of you that are continuing on trusting the Lord. And so there's great women of faith, but I want you to notice in verse number 32, there are some men of faith that are mentioned here. And verse number 32 says this, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." Several are mentioned in this verse, but I want to, if I could, reach in and pull out just four men this morning. Four men that God used mightily, but it was during their lifetime where they had some lessons they had to learn. And I want to mention this morning one lesson that Gideon learned, one lesson that David learned. And the Bible goes on and it talks about the prophets. So I want to mention a lesson that Elijah learned and a lesson that Elisha learned. And so this morning I want to, again, reach in and just look at some lessons that these men have learned And no doubt the lessons that they learned in their life were challenged with the very same things from day to day. And let me say that some of the lessons have to do with dependence upon God. Some of the lessons have to do with the details of how the Lord guides. Some of the lessons have to do with prayer. And another lesson, of course, has to do with faith. And this being the hall of faith, surely they learned some things about faith. And so this morning, let's look at these men and try to just look into their lives and pull out some lessons that they learned that we can learn as well. Number one, I want you to turn to Judges chapter number 7. And I want to mention Gideon. And we see in Judges chapter number 7 that he was given a lesson upon dependence. He was given a lesson on depending upon God. Judges chapter number 7 this morning. Now, I'm not going to say anything that you've not already heard, but it bears to be repeated. Gideon in Judges chapter number 7, and his lesson was a lesson on dependence. Notice if you would in verse number 1 of Judges 7. Then Jerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all of the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. Now notice in verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And here it is. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And so we see right off the bat that Gideon had a large amount of men in his army. But after the Lord had paid him a visit and spoke to him about the size of his army, he was told to make a certain statement. And that statement, again, is found in verse number 2, or verse number 3, in fact. He says, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And so the Bible says that 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And so God spoke to Gideon about downsizing. And he said that if you remain as big as you are and you win the battle, then Israel will get boastful. Israel will be proud that they're the ones who won the battle. And so there was a downsizing here. There was a reduction in the life of Gideon. You read on in verse number 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many, speaking of the 10,000. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. And so we have Gideon, who was given more instruction, and that instruction was, is for that remainder of people, the 10,000, to go down, and whoever lapped like a dog on his hands and knees, they were not the chosen ones to continue on. Now, I want you to notice something before we go any further. In verse number 4, there's a little word called try, or the little word try here I want you to notice about middle ways through this verse. The Bible says, and I will try them for thee there. That word try means to test or examine. And as of gold and silver is refined and the purities are removed from that. And only the pureness of that gold and silver is left. And so we see that the Lord said, Gideon, I want you to go down and I'm going to try your men there and test them. Well, we know that some did lap up water like a dog. And others scooped the water and drank it. And the reason why those who lapped the water like a dog did not make the cut is because it showed and exposed their vulnerability. Well, they knelt down and they on the hands and knees and they were lapping water as a dog. They weren't even focused on the enemy anymore. They were just totally vulnerable. But then there were some who scooped the water and drank. And so that was showing the Lord that they were men who were aware. They were men who were focused and not like those who lapped the water. And so they were tried at that point. And so much of the men did not make the cut. In fact, the Bible says in verse 7, by the 300 men that lapped, not like a dog, but by cupping their hand, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. I want to say this morning that the title actually is Essential Lessons from God's Men. And number one is Gideon. And Gideon learned a lesson upon depending upon the Lord. Here's a man that had a lot. He had a lot of men. Not to speak of Gideon's past, how God called him into the ministry. And when he was living in fear and he was threshing wheat by the wine press. The Midianites were in the land, and so God called thou mighty man of valor. And so now we have Gideon who has a lot of men. God has called him into the ministry. He has fought and overcame battle after battle. But now the Lord is telling him here, Gideon, the men you have are too many men. There is going to have to be a reduction here. He says, if you march in and overtake the land and beat the enemy, he said that the Israelites will think that they're the ones who did it. And so decrease, decrease, reduction, reduction. Now we have 300 men. But can I say this morning that God accomplished, God gave Gideon the victory with 300 men and not all of the thousands that he had before. And so this is a lesson this morning of dependence upon God, something that Gideon learned. And can I say this morning that God is still teaching us essential lessons from God's men in the Bible, men and women. But Gideon, he learned the lesson of being reduced. How are things going in your life this morning? Have you been reduced to any sorts? Has there been a reduction in health? Has there been a reduction in resources? Many times in life, by doing what we think is best and living for the Lord and giving our whole heart and our whole mind for Him, being responsible adults and being parents, and some are grandparents, even then we experience reduction. Even then there is reduction of health and sometimes a reduction of means. Think about Job this morning. He was serving the Lord and he was, in fact, every morning Job went out and he offered sacrifices on the behalf of his children. And yet Job lost it all. He suffered reduction. But there was one thing that Job learned, that his Savior could sustain him when he was down to zero. He learned that his rejoicing is not in a house. And his rejoicing is not in means, but his rejoicing was in a person. So this morning, as we experience life and we try to be responsible and try to serve the Lord, there's times where we all face reduction of some kind. Our health may be dwindling. Our means or resources may be dwindling. It seems like America's dwindling. But listen this morning, be encouraged. Let us all learn this valuable lesson of dependence upon God. Because it doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter how many stimulus checks are sent out. It doesn't matter if we're abounding in health or we're not abounding in health. Paul learned that he learned on both, how to abound and how to suffer need. And so the whole object this morning, the lesson we're trying to give is that we can depend on the Lord. And sometimes he allows our means to get very little. Think about Elijah when he went to Zarephath from the brook Cherith. God said, before even going, I have a widow woman there to sustain thee. Elijah got on the scene and there she had a little oil and a cruse and a handful of meal. He said, make me first a little cake. Hey, man, that sounds good, a little cake. Make me a big cake. He said, make me a cake. Now, this shows the dependence that not only Elijah had by going there and trusting God's word, but the widow woman had from the man of God. Because she gave all that she had and it sustained him. But then after she gave all that she had, the Bible says that the barrel of meal wasted not many days. She gave all she had. She was going to consume that last little bit and then die with her son. But she trusted what God's man said and the message that he brought. She gave to him and she ate for many days. He was a beneficiary of obeying God's word with a handful of meal. And all of this I'm trying to say this morning. Whether we are abounding in health and wealth or whether we're at the bottom in need of health and wealth, God can be trusted. And sometimes he allows providentially things to come into our lives that challenge these areas. And so we see that Gideon was in the hall of faith and we're learning an essential lesson from God's man. Now, I want to mention a second person. Gideon in Judges 7, verse 1. But turn to 2 Samuel for a moment. Chapter number 19. Or you can just look on the screen. 2 Samuel chapter number 19. We have David. Of course, any given man, person that we mentioned this morning, there are several lessons that you can learn. But David, in 2 Samuel 19, he was given a lesson concerning the details of God. Focusing on the details that God gives in life. Now, after hearing of David being king in Israel, the Philistines came after him. Notice, if you would, in verse 3, 2 Samuel, I guess I better turn there. 2 Samuel 19, 3. He says this. There it is. Thank you, Brother Randy. And the people got them by stealth that day in the city, as people being ashamed steal away. Hold on, is that the right one? Let me get there. 2 Samuel 19. The more I say that, the more you know I'm not there yet. All right, 2 Samuel 19. My goodness. Okay, I got about 10 pages marked. I'm here now. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. Verse number 17. 2 Samuel 5. I'm sorry. 5. That's it. 5. Verse number 17. Good night, church. That's my fault. 2 Samuel 5 and verse number 17. But when the Philistines, listen, heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves. Listen to this very important information. They spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And there they left their images, and David, his men, burned them. Now I want you to notice this, because we're getting into the next couple of verses, and David has the same set of circumstances, but yet he inquired of the Lord a second time, and he got a different answer. Look in verse number 22. "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." Same place, same battle. But notice verse 23. "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up." We have two separate accounts here. The same formation of battle. The Philistines, they heard David was anointed king, so they came and they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David asked God. God said, "Go, you'll win." He went, and he won. A second time, same formation of battle. They spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, but David inquired a second time. God said, "Don't go." You say, what is this? This is a lesson concerning paying attention to the details. Paying attention to the details. If David would have assumed that it was God's will, like last time, to go to the same place, he would have lost. But you see, we serve a God this morning who is a God of details. This past Wednesday night, we shared some things along those lines about the God of the details. And we mentioned Noah and the ark. You remember in the book of Genesis chapter number 6 and verse 14, God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood, which is cypress. And then what did he say? He said, "I want you to make rooms." But then he mentioned the word pitch. He said, "I want you to pitch it within, and I want you to pitch it without." That pitch was like a tar. And he would paint that pitch on the outs where the boards would come in together. He would seal it. And that pitch would seal the ark on the outside. And it would seal the ark on the inside. It kept all of the water from coming in and everything safe on the inside, safe on the outside. Suppose that Noah got the wood and started building the ark but skipped the pitch. If he would have skipped the pitch, then the moment that that ark was in the middle of the flood and the flood was rising, what would have happened? Water would start seeping in. And although Noah built an ark, and although him and his family were safe in the ark, because a very important step was skipped, they probably would have died. And so God is a God of details. And Noah, he fulfilled all of those details. And again, David, same thing. He learned a lesson when it comes to details. "Shall I go up?" Verse 19. "Go up." "Shall I go up?" Verse 23. "Don't go up." Let us all pay attention to the details. Let us all glean this lesson from David. In fact, if you hear or if you read the remainder part of verse 23, he says, "But fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. David listened. David positioned himself. He paid attention to the details. And because of that, he got the victory. Before the details were, go in and overtake. This time, the details were to wait and listen. Church, let me say this. Those watching, let me say this. Including myself, I have made some mistakes in my life, and I know others have too, that we don't want to share because we did not pay attention to details, because we did not go to the Lord. God told him the first time to go in, the second time to wait and listen. How many times have we rushed, jumped ahead of, gotten ahead of God and his plans when really he wanted us to stay and wait, but we rushed because we've been there, we've done that. We got the t-shirt. Oh, we know the drill. But you see, the dividing factor here that makes the difference is waiting and watching and asking God every step of the way. Like, again, like Noah building that ark. Then he got the tar, the pitch. Now he can move on to the other steps. That pitch was so important. And David here asking was so important because God had a waiting stage for him. When in doubt, wait. And so we see this morning that David, he was given a lesson on details. We could go on and on about those and details in the Bible. We know that Joshua at Jericho marched around, was told to march around 6 times, 1 time per day on that 7th day to go 7 times. And then they were to sound the trumpets, the horns, and then shout. Listen to this. This is still in my heart from Wednesday. I am so convinced that if they, and they did, 1 time around for 6 days. And then, Brother Allen, on that 7th day, 7 times around, they did that. That's great. And then the priest that blew the trumpets, that's great. And then the horns, that's great. I'm convinced if there wasn't a shout attached to it, those walls would not have come down. Why is that? Because it's God's plan. It was God's plan for that, for the walls of Jericho. And he stated that to do those things. And so it came down to that last shout. That word shout, when he mentions shouting, it means to split the ears. I think about our little dog Cooper. Whenever he hears something, those ears, they just fold back. He's like, you just look at his ears. His ears are always moving weird, big floppy ears. But his ears, they stick back and he mounts up. Our dog does. And so he tells us there in Joshua for the walls to come down, to blow the trumpets and the horns and shout. And so he shouted and the walls came down. God is a God of the details. We could go on and on. Elisha and Naaman, how he was told to go down to the River Jordan and dip 7 times. What would have happened if Naaman stopped on the 6th time? He had leprosy. What would have happened if he stopped on that 6th time? He wouldn't have got healed. Some of you maybe are watching this morning. You're ready to give up. And you're ready to quit. Let me just tell you. The next step you take in the right direction may be your time to get your blessing. We're not trying to sound like a TV preacher or nothing like that. But I want to tell you. When we walk with the Lord and when we progress toward Him and follow His Word, it's never an option to quit. And like Naaman went to 7th and got healed, maybe someone needs to be encouraged this morning to keep on going because your next step may be your win. Keep on going. Jesus and His disciples. Again, this is all wrapped up in the details. details that the Lord gives, how Jesus is in the details. Jesus and the disciples, we know that he fed the multitude, at least 5,000 plus, with the fish and the loaves. And then he asked the disciples, he told them to go and gather up the fragments, the crumbs, that none be lost. What happened? They did that. But I'm just wondering. Now, possibly they were thinking, okay, well, this is for us to eat later on, and maybe it was. But if you read in Mark's gospel, a little while later, they were in a storm. And they were frightful, and they were fearful. And the Bible says that they considered not the miracle of the loaves. The details. Listen, those disciples, they really didn't fully comprehend about those fragments at the time. They were thinking it was something having to do with their physical body. But it was going to save them in the midst of the storm was the spiritual lesson. And they got in that storm and they had the loaves. You can go back and read it. It's there. They just considered not. Oh, well, didn't even look down to see them. God is always preparing us with what we're going through now for something down the road that we're going to go through to reflect back on. Nothing does God do by accident. Nothing. Listen, every jot and tittle of God's word will come to pass, the Bible says. He is all about details. So that's the lesson from David, is that he was given a lesson concerning details. He asked twice about going up to the Valley of Rephaim. Let me mention a third thing. There's Elijah. 1 Kings chapter number 18. Notice with me. 1 Kings 18. Elijah, we know the story. But Elijah in 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 41, we have a lesson on prayer. Before I read these verses, I want you to notice, in verse number 37, there was the battle of Baal and his men against, of course, Elijah. And they called out to Baal, and then Elijah called out to God, and that prayer was immediately answered. Verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." Look at verse 38. "Then, right after, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." There's those prayers that we pray that we no sooner get up and God has already answered that prayer. I can testify of times where, I mean, I was literally praying and the answer would be, I would find the answer the moment I get up. Answer a phone call, a knock at the door, something like that. God, sometimes he answers prayer immediately. But then notice verse number 41. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees." We'll stop there. The first time he predicted a drought, he stood before Ahab and he claimed, "No dew, no rain for these years." And so now he's getting ready to lift that claim because it's about to rain. He said so in verse number 41. But notice verse number 42. "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again,' seven times." How about that? Have you ever prayed about something and while at one point in your life those prayers were immediately answered? Every time. But then there's those other times where you pray, nothing. There was nothing. And so he sent his servant. He said, "Go seven times." Seven times. Imagine that poor servant running up. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Six times there was nothing. But it was on that seventh time there was something. This is a lesson this morning on prayer and not to give up in prayer. Pray until you pray. Amen. Pray until you pray. Pray until you feel that your spirit is connected with God and that the burden is being lifted and that you have got some headway. Pray until you pray. Keep on praying. Don't give up praying. Someone that you love that needs to be saved, keep praying for them. Your own physical elements, keep praying. Seven times. It was six times he came with bad news. I'm sorry, Elijah. I'm sorry. Nothing. Go again. Nothing. Whew, I imagine about the third time that poor guy was give out because all he had was bad news to report, not to mention the climb. But it was that seventh time. The seventh time. Look what he says. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud. Look, when you're praying about something and you're needing God to move and you engage in prayer, all there has to be is a little bit of evidence and you rejoice. He says, a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. A lesson on prayer. Last one. Elisha. We've mentioned Elijah, but now Elisha. 2 Kings chapter number 3. While Elijah gave us a lesson on prayer, and David gave us a lesson on details, and Gideon gave us a lesson on dependence, Elisha gives us a lesson on faith. 2 Kings 3 and verse number 16. Notice the command that God gives him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Boy, he tells them right off the bat, there's going to be a time when you're working for nothing. So it appears. And he said, Elisha, there's going to be a time when you're digging them ditches and it's hard, strenuous labor. You're not even going to see the chance of rain. The wind's not even going to blow. Notice the next word. Yet. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. We see here a lesson on faith. And so the Lord told him, he said, look, I have a planned battle layout to defeat the Moabites. But you're going to have to make ditches. And to read the story, the long and the short of it, we know that those ditches were filled with water and it took on the appearance of blood. Or it was red as blood in verse number 22 is what the Moabites saw. They thought they killed themselves. They went in to besiege the land and they were killed. But here's the thing. The Lord said, I want you to make ditches, and it's going to be hard, hard work. You're not going to see wind. Neither shall you see rain. Not really sure how you see wind, unless you see the effects of wind. But he says, yet. And this is what I want to come to conclusion with this morning. While he gives us a lesson on faith here, my question to you is this. Is life hard right now for you? Those watching, is life difficult? I mean, outside of the pandemic and outside of all these ugly politicians and that kind of stuff going on, how are things at home? Do you feel like you're digging ditches? You see, Brother Justin, I'm going to church. I'm watching church. I'm trying to follow church. I'm giving and I'm doing all of those things, and still it's just hard, laborious, mental and spiritual battles. And I tell you to keep on digging. Because while you may not see a trace of any relief coming, in God's economy, He can step out of nowhere and make things happen. It's our job to believe. And so we see that these men, they believe, they dug in faith. They dug in faith. And because of that, the Lord filled the ditches with water and they won the battle. So come this morning. Essential lessons from God's men. And Hebrews 11:32 gives us some of those men. I mean, again, we see Gideon. He was the man who knew a little bit about depending on God. And David was the man who knew a little bit about the details of God. Elijah was the man that knew a little bit about prayer. Elisha knew a little bit about faith. What area are you challenged in this morning? We have lessons given all through God's Word. These are just four essential lessons that we've done our best to share with you this morning, and I hope that God spoke to your heart. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you do. I pray that you would use the message to be a help to your people, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Altars are open if you need to come. Those watching, this is your virtual invitation.